Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. It's a Monday. Adam's right. It's a nice day out there. A little too cool, but it's nice. Sunny. Wednesday is garbage. So the Twins are expected to play a day game Wednesday. I think we will be on Wednesday. That's my early prediction. My name is Chad Hartman. My full name is Chadwick. Don't really like it, but the alternative was Max. My mother wanted Chadwick. My father wanted Max. So I am Chad Robert Hartman. Adam, you are Adam Robert Carter. Did you ever find out if there were what the other considerations were, or were you always Adam?
No, I think Jacob might have been another option for me.
Okay. Funny, I've known you for now 13 years. You seem like an Adam to me for some reason. I don't know.
Really? In God's image, probably. Adam means in God's image, so I mean that's a given. I mean, when you think God,
we had that conversation with Deanna.
That's right. I think Deanna kind of had enough of us after a while, I think. So let me rephrase that. Deanna had enough of you after a while.
Yeah. Carter and I went out the other night. I actually had a very fun time. But I was just being me. I think at some point she thought it was funny. But then I think quickly, like 5 minutes later, that ended and was like, what do you want next? Okay. What happened to her? At the end of the night, though, Adam?
I was going
to
say, she dropped a bunch of dishes, I think, and probably PTSD.
You scarred her that badly in one evening?
No, I would say if she wouldn't have been laughing at more of that Dave Chappelle-like material I was offering up, she wouldn't have done that.
You were hitting the transphobic jokes, too?
Yeah, no. I kind of want, Chappelle out before John Mulaney, and the reports over the last couple of days that Chappelle was Chappelle. And then let's not forget the Chappelle controversy from months ago about transphobic jokes. Netflix resigning, now Netflix saying we're standing with them. I'd be curious to hear what extent, how far did those jokes go? Because clearly there is a line. And with comedy, there's a different line for some of us. And Dan, some say, well, no, you're a hypocrite. There's a line or there's a line. You are Dan.
Yes.
Do you know any other name considered for you?
Not another male name. I was always Daniel, as far as I know. Had I been a female, my father was pushing hard for Jennifer, but he had it in his head that he was going to nickname me Jeffy at that point, which I'm fairly confident would have had me in therapy even earlier than I was as it is. So,
wait a second. If you were a girl, your nickname was going to be Jeffy?
Yes.
Adam, will you do us a favor and end the nickname The Lobster and start calling Jen Jeffy?
No chance.
Thank you.
She will not, Jenny, she does not do
that. Doesn't like Jenny?
No.
No, so Jeffy would be 10 times worse. So.
Yeah.
How did it get to Jeffy from Jennifer?
Just
F later?
Yeah, I guess. We've all, my entire family, because this is a story we've talked about multiple times over the years. I'll look at my father and scratch our heads and wonder where. And he just thinks it's the most natural thing in the world. Why wouldn't you call somebody that? And none of us can understand where it comes from.
Yeah, no, he's wrong. Can we call him sometime and just tell him how wrong he is?
I mean, we could. Remember, he just does still know people in law enforcement around here.
Yeah. No, he's right.
Is actually still engaged with those folks. And,
He's engaged to someone else?
No. I mean, he's still engages with folks in the law enforcement community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm just saying, you gotta be careful. That's all.
Carter, until maybe last Tuesday or Wednesday, how convinced are you that you had heard of the term monkeypox?
I saw them open for Wookiee Foot at the Cedar Cultural Center in 1997.
Monkeypox. The entry. I thought you could maybe say the entry.
Yeah, they might have played the entry that.
Yeah. I think I have, but if someone convinced me I had, I'd go, okay, maybe. So maybe or maybe not you've heard of monkeypox before last week?
I don't think I'd heard of them. Maybe along the lines in some book sometime or Googled some picture and thought, my God, that looks disgusting. And then
it
doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good, but if you've seen the pictures, I'm looking at one picture right now. It looks horrible.
Yeah.
It looks like, to the shock of no one, all of us are going to say, oh, we'll pass. We'll pass. I would have guessed, Adam, during your salad days, when you were an STD haven at Gustavus or Duluth, there might have been Doc, what is this? And the Doc might have considered monkeypox. But that never came up?
No, that test was negative, thankfully.
That test was negative. Dan, Jeffy, how convinced are you heard of monkeypox?
I had never heard of it. No, zero. I've never heard of it. No, I didn't. In fact, the first time I read the word in a news story, I thought, okay, we're just making this up to freak people out, right? I mean, we're not actually, this isn't a thing, is it?
Doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good at all.
Okay, so we have now 15 countries, couple hundred folks, one in Massachusetts, one most likely in Florida. I want your text right now. What is your concern level for monkeypox? Less than zero, or here we bleep and go again. I'd love to sit here and tell you that right away we knew it about COVID. The one thing I'll say is we did start having Mike Osterholm on the show. Well, Mike's been a regular for 20 years, but it was more frequently January, February with the reports out of China. But I remember in March, Adam and I went on a trip. Did you go on a trip also?
Yeah,
Dan,
I was.
I'm trying to remember.
I was in Phoenix when everything started to shut down.
That's right.
Like, so I was legit worried I was going to be able to get back.
Yeah. Me too.
All three of us were gone. Okay. I'm in Florida. You're in Phoenix. Were you in, like, South Carolina or something?
I went to visit my dad in Georgia. So, Jekyll, okay. Yeah, the coastal Georgia. Yep.
Okay. And I do remember asking you, and no, I remember, I think I said, is it possible, because I think we're just going coronavirus at the time, is it possible a game could be postponed? And you looked at me like, what are you talking about? A game? Not practice. A game?
No, but this was the conversation because...
But let me just finish. And I went, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. So, I mean, no, I do not think we're headed that way. I'm just kind of curious what people think about it right now and how scarred we are because of COVID.
Yeah, I remember that because I think it was Korea. Was it Korea that had had some baseball games without fans in attendance, I think, early
yes.
on? And we thought, boy,
good memory.
Could that happen here? And yeah, I thought, nah. And of course, as soon as I got off the plane at the Savannah Hilton, that airport, on the screen was the NCAA tournament called off. So I think, whoa, did I miss the boat on that one? Swing and a miss. But no, I do not see, as jarring as the word monkeypox is, I do not see a similar situation. I'm hoping I'm right on this time.
Now that Adam has put a wamboozle on us again.
Yeah, exactly. We know Adam's track record.
There's
area.
No chance. No chance. Mark it down. No chance monkeypox hits Minnesota.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's your signal to head to the bunker.
It's by Thursday. Adam's got these grotesque bumps.
Oh, yeah, I'll be the first one to have it. I'll be covered with pus oozing boils. Yeah. So,
can you ever work in pus oozing or boils and it isn't disgusting?
No.
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 I really don't think you can. What is your concern level? I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. Because one country is saying, we aren't waiting, and we got to quarantine. Tom Hauser, 1235, overrated, underrated, properly rated, 105. Andy Mannix on the Human Rights Division saying, we're not going to give you any information. And Chip Scoggins at 235. Monkeypox concern level. Let's go. 651-461-9226. You want to call and add to it? Fine, you can. Less than zero to infinity. It's a wide range. What's your concern level? We're back in moments on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Jeffy, tell us who we're playing today.
That would be one Harry Styles, who's recently released a new album, and the songs are all based on rooms in his house.
Okay, I assume one of yours then, Adam, would be Sex Panther. Would that be one of your titles?
No.
We were talking today about playing a theme. Didn't you play this weekend on the vinyl also?
I did. Ordered it. I was shocked that it showed up like the day after the album was released. I thought it was going to be weeks before we get the album in the mail. But it came the next day.
Nice.
Daughter Morgan.
I didn't know the supply chains work for you, not the rest of us.
Right. Yeah, too bad it wasn't baby formula.
I was going to say, we can't feed babies, but we can get that Harry Styles album, boy.
I listened. Actually, I listened to the whole album on the day it came out.
Sounds like you're lukewarm.
I'm a little lukewarm. Some of the songs are growing on me, but...
aren't you usually kind of lukewarm when you first hear an album, though? Isn't that kind of your...
Movies, I'm usually that way. Okay. Just because my expectations are so high, but...
Comedians also. You're very hard on comedians.
Yes.
No real super bangers on this album.
Okay. Harry's dead to you, I think, is what you're saying.
Not at all.
It kind of seems
not
like
at all.
Yep.
Might as well just hang it up. It was a good run, Harry. You did well. But...
Yeah, this is a Team Styles show. Hauser, 10 minutes away. Among the texts, we're talking monkeypox. I'm wondering if the end of days is coming. Adam, you wondering about that?
There's been times. There's been times over the last few years that you wonder. But no, the monkeypox is not one of those times.
I wonder when this cough pops up just periodically. This is my energy level is back to normal. The cough is the thing that pops up occasionally that I'd like to put to the side. No, I don't think the end of days are coming. Dan, do you think the end of days are coming?
Eventually. But no, I don't think this is a sign of them. No.
Thank you. I mean, can you argue that point?
Well, I mean, good luck. It seems to me pretty obvious, but I mean, if you want to take the other side of it, you certainly can.
My concern about monkeypox, the number is one. It's not that contagious. You probably have to hug a sick person to catch it. Less than zero. Same for COVID. Well, to this texter, over a million people have died in America from COVID. Millions and millions and millions have died across the globe. And long COVID is becoming more and more of a problem. I retweeted.
Oh, yeah.
An account. Did you read it all?
I did. I read it, and I saw it when you retweeted it out. And holy cow. I mean, it just every argument that somebody, you know, perhaps like the texter, you know, who's trying to be dismissive of it has against COVID, if you read that thread and read this person's experience and have any compassion for another human being on this planet, it has to change your mind.
That's it. If you don't have empathy, and Adam nails this all the time, we've become such a less empathetic country. But read this. This is a young person, fit, healthy, and what has happened to this person. And then just act like it's no big deal. Here's one. I'll just start with this, Adam, because I think this is your phone number. The WHO is a... He's using biomedical fascism and tyranny to get their way with people. They want absolute power over people. I'll just skip to the end here. You're no longer in control of your health anymore. You've been sold out to China. Mm. They've been charged now. Why haven't you reported that, newsman?
Come on,
that we don't have control, that China
China, the ones restricting women's health too. Is that on China too? Always start that with a motive. So WHO wants complete control over everybody. Why? To sell masks?
It's the cabal, man.
Okay. It's all part of the Great Reset.
By the way, you can massively disagree with the WHO. You can point out where they've been wrong. You can disagree. But the idea that somehow, again, COVID has been created and now smallpox has been created and they're trying to take over the world, that's QAnon territory, ladies and gentlemen. That is. There's just, Adam, there's just such an enormous difference between, no, fact by fact, I'm going to show you where they're wrong versus you don't understand. They're trying to control us. They've taken the control and it's almost too late for us to survive.
Right.
Now, Belgium, where do you stand on Belgium, Carter? I mean, when you think Belgium, what do you think of?
Oh, I think of beer when I think of Belgium.
Waffles. Come on, man. What are you?
Yeah, I was going to say are overrated. Waffles. Waffles for me, by the way.
For sure.
Number three. Close circuit. When is Nigerian going to live up to his private plane with the guy who runs the Waffle House and try to convince us that waffles are better than French toast and pancakes, which they're not. But the three of us are willing to say that if we fly in the private plane, aren't we?
Sure. I'll give it a shot. I mean, you can try to change my mind, but...
Yes. Belgium has become the first country to introduce a mandatory 21-day quarantine for monkeypox patients. Measure was introduced Friday. As of today, the country has recorded 4 local cases. If you have 4 cases, should we be to a mandatory 21-day quarantine? Obviously, it's not affected a lot of people in Brussels, Adam, if it's just 4 people. Does that seem a bit much to you?
Well, not if you if you look at this and, okay, it's not nearly as contagious as COVID, so the arguments of lockdowns being frivolous in the case of COVID, if you can identify a certain amount of people who have it, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, it almost seems
first
like it would,
popped
be,
up.
It would be more effective to do it. It'd be more effective to quarantine people if you can actually contain it, like we really honestly couldn't with COVID. Right. The 21 days, I guess, is just a matter of how long you're still actually, able to transmit the disease, I guess, right? I mean, I would assume.
Yep. And we're going to be learning more and more about it. First arrive from 2 monkeys in 1958. First transfer to a child in 1970. So let's hope good health to all the folks who have it. And this is out of our conversation days from now. Let's just hope and let's follow some good medical guidelines as opposed to it's all about controlling the world and we're just sheep and we don't understand it. Tom Hauser on the frauds in St. Paul. Let's just be honest. The frauds in St. Paul. He's coming up in moments.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Harry Styles, the music today. His latest album, Tom Hauser, is with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Of course, it's another special session. Of course, it's another special session. If there is one. If there is one. So, they bottom line, they don't get it done. I make you czar of the legislature. And you somehow, Hauser, are going to come up with a system where you will guarantee us that the governor, because he cannot be taken off the hook here, and the legislators will get their work done on time. What a novel concept. Tell me what you would do outside of physical punishment. What would you do to get them to finish on time? It shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, sadly, it is baked into the equation now that they're not going to get done. It has been, I don't know how many years since I have sensed any real urgency at the end of a regular session. It is almost as if they just assume they're going to play this game of chicken until the very end, and then they'll just get bailed out with a special session, and then they'll finally decide to do something that they could have easily done a month earlier.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. And I know people are saying now, well, how about if they don't get paid for the special session? They're getting paid, what, $65 for the special session? Okay, I'll take $65. You'll take $65. That's not going to do it. I mean, what if there was, in all sincerity, a financial incentive or punishment if they don't finish on time? But I assume the problem with that, Tom, is those folks who are in St. Paul who plan on staying there for a while, they would never vote for that because they know the chances are still high. They will go to a special session.
Yeah, it's like trying to get politicians to vote for term limits. They don't want to do that because they don't want their terms to be limited. So it's the same situation with the legislature. But they are, and you know, I want to preface these remarks that I'm about to say by saying this is not an opinion. It is just a fact that the Minnesota legislature is incredibly dysfunctional. Again, that's not an opinion. There is ample evidence to indicate that that is just a fact. And until someone decides to do something about it, and it can't just be one person, it has to be the Republican caucus in the House or Senate or the Democratic caucus in the House or Senate, somehow they have to figure this out because it's really embarrassing when you think about it. I mean, and I think the chances of a special session this year are no better than 50-50. I think Republicans are willing to just go to the elections and let the voters decide. Now, what they're going to decide, I have no idea, but I just don't sense a lot of urgency from Republicans unless they get some leverage by saying, yeah, we'll do a special session, but we're going to want this, this, and this. That's the game that's coming up.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. They, Republicans, wanted a lot of money going back to us, citizens, not the Walsh checks, but in permanent tax cuts. They agreed to a lot of things. I mean, $4 billion in tax changes. That's an enormous sum of money. All that is just dead in the water if they can't agree to the other side of it. And isn't that a pretty strong advantage for the Republicans to spend the summer and fall saying, guess what? Governor Walz wanted to keep more of this money. We not only wanted more to go back to you, we settled for a little bit less, but we got the money back, and Tim Walz wanted to stop us.
Well, Tim Walz will counter by saying, I tried to send you checks. I tried to send you Walz checks. Well, what we found out over the weekend from Senator Tom Bach, who used to be the chair of the tax committee and knows taxes as well as anyone in the state, he said those Walz checks would have been federally taxed. So when you went to do your income tax next year, you would have been paying tax on the Walz checks. And Senator Bach said that's the equivalent of just sending some of our surplus to the federal government. So that's why those kind of fell by the wayside. But even with the $4 billion of tax relief, the day after that deal was agreed to, we started learning that there were Republicans who were not happy with the deal because it cuts that first tier income tax rate by such a small amount, from 5.35 to 5.1. They originally wanted to go down to 2.8. So it was going to be a very minimal tax break for most Minnesotans. Democrats, on the other hand, were able to leverage a lot of money for child care tax credits, dependent children tax credits, a lot of things that are more advantageous to many of their constituents, you know, lower and middle income families. And so there was a lot of Republicans who didn't see that tax bill as a great win for them. I mean, they always like it when there's lower taxes on everybody. But some of them thought it might favor Democratic constituencies more than Republican constituencies.
Most of us refer to that high-end bracket as the Hauser bracket, too, just if we can refer to that moving forward. So let's talk about Scott Jensen. He's one of two people who will be the next governor of the state of Minnesota. And it is clear that Scott Jensen was not happy with the $4 billion here, $4 billion there, $4 billion saved, and said, more of it back. More of it back to the citizens. Hold your line. This would be the same thing if Democrats, by the way. Let's not act like this is different. But when you have now your standard bearer, Republican candidate for governor, the endorsed candidate, Scott Jensen, saying, don't do it. How important was that in some Republicans pushing back on some of the Democrats' ideas?
You know, to be honest, I don't think that had a big impact. I'm sure many of them heard that, but many of them were probably already thinking the same thing. Even though there's $4 billion in tax relief, as Kurt Dowd, the minority leader in the House, said yesterday, it really wasn't $4 billion in tax relief. It's like $2.4 billion in actual tax cuts and $1.6 billion in spending within the tax bill, meaning all of those tax credits. A lot of those things are considered more like spending than tax cuts. So that he was one Republican who was not thrilled with the deal. I'm sure there were people who heard Jensen and said, yeah, we agree with you. Many of them may have already been in that same place. But, you know, Scott Jensen will be on the steps of the state capitol here in the next hour or so, officially kicking off his campaign. And I guarantee you, well, I shouldn't guarantee you, if he is astute, he will stand up there and say, this is the kind of dysfunction that you have with Governor Walz and the 100%. Democratic House. Even though Republican senators are complicit as well, he's not going to point that out. But he's going
you
to
can
say,
guarantee
if I'm
that.
Governor, if I'm going to be governor, I'm going to show some leadership. I will say, I don't know what Governor Walz was doing behind the scenes, but we did not see him at all on Saturday or Sunday at the Capitol until close to 1 o'clock in the morning, technically this morning, when he finally came out and made a statement after it was too late to do anything. So,
I want to stop on that, Tom, because I think that is very important. I think that is an essential topic because it's also come up before with Dayton and Pawlenty. But here is the guy, Mr. One Minnesota. Let's get things done. A week ago on a sunny Monday, we worked together, and you're following closer than I, but I was like, where is Walz at this point? More of that conversation with the best in the business, Tom Hauser, from Channel 5 and 45, in just moments on WCCO. 1249, Chad Hartman, Tom Hauser with you, News Talk 830 WCCO. We were just talking about it. Tom raising very good points about Walz, the governor, and where he was. Our mutual friend, Bloys Olson, is tweeting that Walz and legislative leaders are meeting right now. I know you're talking to me. Can you, I mean, we both believe in Bloys, but can you even affirm it even more? Do you know if that's taking place?
Yeah, I know they were going to meet today. Senator Miller's communications person said they were going to meet. Miller was going to tell them he didn't really have much to say. He thought they should have gotten their work done over the weekend. But yeah, they were going to meet late last night, early this morning. That didn't happen. So then they were going to try to meet today. I do not anticipate any agreement coming out of a meeting today. I think they need a day or two to sort this out. Last night, Speaker Hortman was saying, or early this morning, she was saying she thinks they should try to get the special session done before Memorial Day weekend, which, of course, is this coming weekend, you know, so that they can capitalize on, these were not her exact words, but I think she was talking about, we've got momentum, let's do it now. There is no momentum. And so I don't know.
You're right.
I don't see anything changing between now and Thursday.
So let's talk the governor. And you follow this close and it seems like, I don't know, you tell me which governor really, really did get involved. But when you're running for office, to retain your office, and Walz's position is going to be Scott Jensen is on the fringe. He's out there, doesn't know what he's doing. He's not the mainstream. I'm the guy that gets things done. This, again, is the Walz position. Why wouldn't you be right in the middle of the negotiations? Because, again, it's like Trump was never in the middle of negotiations. Obama was never in the middle of negotiations. The W, not really. I'm trying to remember the last. I guess Bill Clinton was right in the middle of it. Was Arnie in the middle of it? Why do our people in power say they're going to bring us together and then they just let, whether it's Congress or the legislature, do the work and they act like they're not even a part of it?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that many years ago when, well, in fact, under Governor Dayton, the previous governor, and under Governor Pileni, and even under Governor Ventura, there would be, you may remember the images of these Capitol Press Corps stakeouts outside the governor's office, where he would summon the leaders in and they would talk and they would go back and forth exchanging offers and trying to get something done. None of that happened this time around. There were sporadic meetings, but there was never a sense of urgency that entire last week of the session, from that Monday announcement of the global agreement. And you may recall, you and I talked about that, and I said,
yes,
you know, it's all about the details. I said, this doesn't mean anything.
We both did.
Those budget targets should have been out 6 weeks ago. It's no great feat to, with 6 days to go in the session, say, hey, we've decided how much money we're going to spend and how much in taxes we're going to cut. You know, what were you doing in February, March, and April, and the first half of May?
We both said it last week. Go back and podcast our show. We both said, what agreement? I mean, that's great if me and you say, I don't know, you got 10 bucks, I've got 10 bucks. We have to agree how to spend the 10 bucks. If we don't agree how to spend it, there's no deal. So I want to talk about one thing in the education spending, and they're just enormous difference. It's like $1 billion for the Democrats and like $30 million for the Republicans. And I'll admit my bias, and you have Abby, your daughter, who has battled significant health issues. My son Quentin is going to be out of the special ed program soon, so this won't affect me. This country is shameful in spending the proper amount of money for special education in every single state. It is embarrassing. And I have brought this up to governors, Walz, Dayton, Pileni, and that's all. Okay, that's a really good point. Is this the year where you thought something would change? I'm not saying all. Obviously, I'm not saying all the money go. But just for once, let's come close to dedicating money to a group of individuals who are remarkable people, and because of a speck, an infinitesimal speck of their chromosome, isn't like Tom or mine or Adam's. They have to face a few more challenges. And so we continue to shortchange them in society and in education, and it should be a nationwide embarrassment. Is there any hope that more money will be spent this year?
Well, if there is a special session and there is an education bill, I think the last offer I saw of the $1 billion for education, about $900 million of it was for special education. And then $100 million for literacy programs and a variety of other programs. But remember, the special education funding is mandated by the federal government. Federal yep. government helped create the problem by mandating it, but then not paying for it. So
correct.
They leave it to the state
100%.
To try to come up with the money. And it's very expensive. And you know better than I do, my daughter never needed special education, but she works with a lot of kids. She's a camp counselor at Camp Courage and just does a lot mm-hmm. of work with kids with muscular dystrophy. And those kids, I mean, they rely on this. I mean, this is their
yes.
this is their lifeline to education. And until you've, you know, walked a day in
walked it.
The
That's
shoes
it.
Of one of those kids or the parents, you don't understand how significant the needs are. And now it's compounded by the difficulty in finding personal care attendants. And mm-hmm. it goes on and on. But that is the one area where Republicans were willing to spend a lot of money
Good.
As were Democrats.
Bravo.
So, but Let, the problem
get it
is
done.
All of this is sitting on the table.
Yeah, exactly. I got to go, man. I will be watching the next couple days, and we'll talk soon. As always, appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Chad.
Tom Hauser, extensive coverage on Channel 5 and 45. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. Start chiming in right now. 651-461. 9226 here on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.